Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Ambivalous, a show where we discuss a variety of topics about alcohol, from beer styles, the brewing process, distillation and spirits, and even liquor laws. There's a fascinating world to discover. On today's episode, we talk about the origins of Mandan's very own Thomas and Moriarty's. Joining me today is Michael Cashy of Thomas and Moriarty here in downtown Mandan. I'm your host, Connor Brecky. Let's all raise a glass to the Ambivalous. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Today we have a special episode. I'm joined here with Mr. Michael Cashy of Thomas and Moriarty. And today we're going to learn a bit about how he and his business came to be. So, Mr. Michael, thank you for coming back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Always a pleasure. So, tell us a bit about yourself and how you became, you know, the cocktail wizard of the area.
Wizard's kind of a strong word, but hey, I'll take it. So I actually grew up around here, grew up in Linton, joined the army right out of high school, moved over to Germany where I stayed for a few years after getting out, came back, and I was planning on going to college to be a history teacher. So I got a job over in Bismarck bartending. I was just going to do it for kind of put my way through college and ended up really kind of falling in love with it. And a few years later, well, long story short, here we are.
Could you explain to us how like you came to like all the knowledge of all this stuff? Was it just trial and error or is it just previous bartending experience, self-study, a little all of the above, I guess?
A little of all of the above. But what really got me into it was I was lucky and had trained under Kate Gerwin, who is, if anyone's like kind of a cocktail geek, she was the first American and the first woman to hold a major world's title in bartending. And she had won the Bowls World Championship in 2015, 2016. So I got a lot of knowledge from her, a lot of the kind of the training program from her, and then another guy called Tobin Ellis, who's really brought back free pouring, which is what we do. So if you ever watching us, we don't use jiggers too much, you know, the little measuring things, but we're accurate with our pours. We test ourselves daily. So I learned from them and then a lot of kind of geeking out, reading books, podcasts. Working at different like big cocktail events, San Antonio Cocktail Conference is still probably one of my absolute favorite memories, I'd say, related to the industry. And then you trial and error. Sometimes something just doesn't work.
That's pretty impressive. It's pretty cool that you got the opportunity to train under her. I don't really know a whole lot about how cocktails came to be and you know the art form behind it, but that sounds like a pretty great experience. Your name, Thomas and Moriarty, I know you guys get a lot of questions about that. Could you elaborate on the two characters from that name?
Yeah, like, God, people even ask how to pronounce it. We were at a city commission meeting a few years ago, and they introduced us as Thomas and Mariachis. So don't be surprised if one day down the road there's a Thomas and Mariachi drink. But
players?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, so the name's stemming from, well, once again, going back to that craft aspect of it, Jerry Thomas was a bartender in the 1800s. He wrote the very first American cocktail book called How to Mix Drinks or The Bon Vivant's Companion. And it was the first time in history that there had been a list of cocktails and ingredients and recipes for it. So he was a super famous bartender at the time and we call him now the godfather of American mixology. So we had wanted to kind of focus on that kind of time frame for a theme. So we wanted to do like a late 1800s, early 1900s theme, so kind of a Victorian era theme. And then the Moriarty's is actually coming from Sherlock Holmes. My girlfriend who owns the place with me, we're both kind of like, I'm more of a small-time literary geek, but she was a English and communications major. So we wanted to really kind of focus on the literature aspect of it too. So we've kind of been developing the last few years like a mythos too of Jerry Thomas working with Professor Moriarty to defeat Sherlock Holmes.
And then you came and opened this place. You had kind of an interesting location hunting process, if I recall.
Yeah, so we actually weren't ever supposed to be a physical bar. My girlfriend, business partner, boss came to me, asked if we wanted to open up a cocktail truck. So what we were going to do is we were going to get basically an old food truck and then turn it into a mobile bar, and not just do events, but like set up in different locations and be able to serve. And then that would open up possibilities to travel around the country. However, North Dakota law, you have to have a physical location to have a alcohol license. So we ended up kind of going here. We looked at a couple different spots. Two of them were very old buildings. One of them was early 1900s, and the building manager was super excited for us to move in, but we had never heard from the building owners. Well, it turns out they didn't want a bar going in there, which, you know, that would have been nice to know. They could have told us, you know, within 6 weeks, I guess. And then we moved to another spot, actually right across the street from where we're at, started construction. That building was built in 1893. It was the old, it was the first bank of Morton County. And then little ways into construction, thank God we didn't go crazy. We found out we would have had to put a fire suppression system in the entire building, which would have eaten up our entire loan. So we ditched that spot and then ended up here.
Yeah, I do remember that. Seeing that in your upcoming Facebook thing, that's we gotta change location.
Yeah, it was rough at first, because like the first 6 months, it's like you're working with your ex and you're constantly staring at them, since we're literally right across the street. We had really fallen in love with that building, and then like, nope, just kidding.
But the building you have now, I mean, I like it.
This space would have been a completely different spot if we would have went over there. So I do, it worked out in the end, and I'm happy with it.
And going back on kind of the literary aspect of your guys' establishment, your drink names have a lot of interesting stories behind them too. On a previous episode, we talked about Absinthe and Sunsets and how that kind of was a thing. And
yeah. Yeah, so one like that, like we do have a lot of a little bit more pop culture right now, but we have been getting back into that that like time frame literature aspect of like the cocktail names. But like Absinthe and Sunsets, that's coming from a Oscar Wilde quote. He supposedly was a big absinthe drinker, although like I think he wrote about actually kind of hating absinthe, but he liked the appearance of liking absinthe, I guess.
You guys definitely have an extensive menu right now. The summer's here, full force, and you've got your really, really big menu going. The gin and tonic menu, your signature cocktails are quite numerous. How do you guys come up with your signatures?
Well, there's a couple different ways of doing it. I do something that in the industry, they'd call it like Mr. Potato Head. And you'll take an already existing drink and you'll swap out ingredients until you have your own original drink. Other times, there's like one flavor profile that we kind of build off of and decide to expand, whether we are complementing that or contrasting with that. And then other times, all of a sudden, like you're like, hey, this sounds good, this sounds good, this sounds good. And you're like, oh, just a couple minor tweaks. And, you know, you have a brandy or a blackberry brandy infused tiki drink on the menu that ends up being really good and popular.
Is there any highlights you'd like to tell or popular ones on the menu?
Yeah, one of the I think been on the last three menus, the Louise Wiley. It's a riff on we're constantly like taking either classics or modern classics and reworking them. And some of them we do almost with the exact same ingredients. We just do a different way. And that's what this one ended up being. So the Louise Wiley is actually a riff on a porn star martini, which the porn star martini is going to be vanilla vodka, lemon, a passion fruit. Usually like passion fruit puree. And then you get a glass of like champagne or like some sort of a bubbly on the side, and then you pour that in. Well, so what we did is the Louise Wiley is actually one of the first erotic film actresses, basically early 1900s, did a striptease. And then we reworked that into a more modern format, where with the passion fruit and the champagne, we turned into a foam. So there's a nice foam that sits on top of that one.
And then you also have a classic cocktail menu. You've got quite a few on your guys' summer menu. You know, you got your old fashions. You've got Cosmos, which I just had for the first time here. You've got Ramos Gin Fizz. You've got all kinds of good stuff. Any highlights there that people seem to really like?
Yeah, the old fashioned is our biggest selling drink of all time. I mean, it's a super simple drink that is hard to make. It's weird, but when you have just three ingredients, sugar, spirit, bitters, you can't hide behind anything. So I think we go through a lot of those for that particular reason. Like, people can make them at home, but they're just not the same. And then you can go to other places and they're still just not going to be the same.
And you always get the magic of watching somebody make it too, especially in a place like this. It's got that nice little vibe. Food menu. You have charcuterie boards, which are pretty famous, I think, anyways. Hear a lot of good things about them.
Yeah. We were one of the first in the area that was focused on charcuterie, I should say. That's for sure. Like, that was our food, and that was all we had right away. And then I do like seeing that it's popping up around here, because I feel like it's a super underrated, really staple in most of the world. And so it's nice to be able to get it at other places that's not just here.
Yeah, the charcuterie tray is something I can't really stay away from. Like, you usually have like a wild game, something like, I think the last one I had was elk and blueberry.
Yep, elk and blueberries here for the summer, I think.
That was phenomenal. And then in the past you've had
like wild boar. I think we've had venison before,
yep,
too.
Yep, venison. Then the chorizo is always good. And then the cheeses. They've got some pretty epic cheeses. I don't know. I'm a huge fan of Gouda.
Yeah, that truffle Gouda is. And then we do like the truffle Gouda mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah. The truffle Gouda mac and cheese is completely delicious. And in addition to charcuterie, you've done other kinds of things too. Like, I just call them fancy hot dogs. You've done different kinds of pies, interesting desserts.
Yeah,
too.
So our hot items, actually, we change out by season. So spring, summer, we're doing hot dogs. So we'll have some sort of gourmet brat. And then we'll house make our own toppings for it. And then in the wintertime, we'll be doing pot pies. And those go crazy. So if you want them, you got to get in at the beginning and the very end of the week. In the middle, we are probably still trying to build up our supply again. But right now for summer, we added a couple new things. We've got our pickle plate, which is a couple different pickled pickled vegetables with some cultured butter to kind of cut down on that acid. We also added conservas, which are really popular in like Spain and Portugal. And those are going to be like those, it sounds bad, but they're going to be like the canned fish. But they're one hand-picked, or hand-caught, I should say. They're a really high-quality fish, and then they're marinated in like olive oil or like something else, different spices and stuff like that.
You also have a beer in a shot menu, something I guess I haven't actually had a beer in a shot, but you do have some interesting ones here.
Yeah, I will say our beer menu is small, and that's because of storage. About 90%, actually it's probably higher than that, of our drink sales are cocktails. When we opened, we did have like a really good wine list, but people were just drinking our cocktails and not the wine. So we pushed through that, and now we just have two wines, and then I think five, maybe six beers when we can find them now. I guess there's been some issues with certain companies getting hacked, which slows down production.
Who would have thought? And then you also have one of my personal favorites, the gin and tonic selection. You've got a number of them on here too. They're pretty hot selling summer item too.
Yeah. So this summer we have not only we expanded our signature cocktails, we brought back the full gin and tonic menu, but we also expanded it to do some more low ABV stuff. So we have the gin and tonics where we're pairing gins with usually like fruits or herbs that are going to like accent the botanicals in the gin. And then we also added highballs and spritzes. And these are going to be your really light, low ABV, perfect kind of for summer drinking drinks.
I'm yet to dive into these spritz and highball, but I can definitely attest for the gin and tonic. And then You also have something that I really enjoy. It's for people who don't drink alcohol. You know, it's you sit down at a bar and it's like, I'll just take a 7-Up or something. But you got a full-blown mocktail menu too, which is lovely.
Yeah, I think right now we've got 6 no ABV drinks. That's actually going to be expanding soon as we've finally gotten some non-alcoholic spirits that are actually really good and affordable. Typically, when you get a non-alcoholic spirit, they might be really good, but the price point, they would actually be more expensive than our cocktails.
Well, we've run down the menu, and I was just wondering, is there a specific drink you really like making, or is there something special to you?
So I will say, as labor-intensive as it can be, the payoff makes it worth it. Ramos Gin Fizzes. I think we're one of the few bars around the area that will make them. Once again, they're fairly simple, but they're a process. So it's a classic New Orleans cocktail. It's really light, little citrusy, but it's gin, lemon, cream, egg white, and seltzer water. And it ends up being a really nice, light, frothy drink, but it's usually around 5 to 8 minutes of shaking. So on a busy night, it kind of bogs us down, but it's still worth it. If you want a Ramos, if someone will make you a Ramos, get it.
It's really delicious. Just understand how long and the labor intensive.
Yeah. You might see me cry a little bit on a busy night, but as soon as that straw goes in and you get that little bit coming over the edge, it's magic.
It is magic.
It's a very weird feeling still, because I'll be like, not another one. And as soon as I'm getting ready to take it out, I'm like, it's amazing.
So to accompany your guys' menu and everything, you guys have kind of like the equivalent of a cocktail bar mug club membership, the Main Street's Irregular. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how to get one?
Yeah, so that is it's a once a year membership. It works a lot like, you know, mug clubs will work at breweries. So it's once a year, it's $100 a year. But with that, whenever we do classes or tastings, you get first dibs on tickets and 25% off. And then there's also a point system. So X many points and you get a free cocktail. So many more points, you get a free charcuterie board. And then I can't remember exactly off the top of my head how high it goes and what all it entails, but there are perks to it as well. And then we do members only kind of events too.
Yeah, let's talk about events briefly. We just came out of the pandemic, which has affected everybody in various ways. But you guys had classes. You did different types of events here at the bar here. And one of them I remember was Rogue Fairy Theater. And I believe that's making a return.
Yeah, so Rogue Fairy Theater is like our version of a open stage, more so than an open mic. So like people come in and do magic. Some people do slam poetry. We'll get music. Someone's done stand up. Some people have just read, like not from their books, but other people's books, they tend to be more funny. So yeah, it's a different little twist on a open mic. And sometimes there's theme nights. Like a few weeks ago, they had a carnival theme. So we had like 3 or 4 people come dressed as like clowns, like Victorian clowns. So I was very uncomfortable. It's usually like kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, I've been to a few of them. It's a variety show. I mean, don't expect just straight up music. I remember just hearing poetry. It's nice to mix it up a bit. As far as like classes and that stuff, are those coming back soon or are you still kind of holding off on those?
Yes, we are going to be bringing them back shortly. We are trying to figure out the schedule. So hopefully by the time this airs, we might have one or two things we can drop in a link.
I do like a good class. One thing to drink, your favorite drink. Then you kind of get to learn a little history about it. But then again, that's why this podcast exists too. So stay tuned.
Yeah, it's called history.
History.
It's not drinking. It's learning.
It is learning. Do you have any future plans for this place? Any like your menu rotates seasonally?
Our menu will actually be scaled back down. I think right now we have something maybe around 60 cocktails between all four menus on the, like on the current, like four categories on the current menu. So we're going to be scaling it back down for winter, but then we're going to be start to do some limited menus as well. So we'll have like small themed menus, like usually around four to maybe six drinks for a limited time. And then we'll rotate that out.
And then you do offer takeout still for food?
Yep. Yep. And just give us a call.
And then you cater too with your guys's?
Yes. Yes. We are doing catering now. We should be able to do the Bismarck Mandan area, I believe. So you got a wedding, you got a birthday party, a bar mitzvah. We're possibly the place.
I would say yes. So it's both you and Stacy who own this place. Could you explain your guys' roles here? I mean, you're obviously like the one bartending for the most part.
Yeah, so she's going to do all the actual like important stuff, you know, like making sure that we paid rent or we filed for our liquor license. Otherwise, if it was me, we probably wouldn't have made it a month. And then I handle all the sadly, the fun stuff that you get to see. So I'm coming up with the drink menu. I should say I'm coming up with the drinks that go on the menu. She does design the menus. So if you ever look at our menus and you really like them, well, you give Stacy a shout out.
They are pretty elaborate, I will say. I definitely like the artwork on them. And then do you have anybody else working here? I know in the past you had another bartender who's no longer around.
Yeah, we usually try to have another person depending on if it's busy enough. But a lot of times you'll see Rachel in, and this menu, she actually put a lot of drinks that went on the menu. So we got to give her a shout out then too.
So people can stop in, they can call you or check out your Facebook page. You know, a few different ways to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to share your story and the story of Thomas and Moriarty with us. You know, if you're in the Bismarck Mandan area and you want to try something fun, something different, I would highly recommend coming down and checking them out. But construction right now, hopefully by the time this thing airs, it's gone. But a little bit trickier to get down to, but don't let that scare you away.
Oh, yeah. And also, we don't take ourselves too seriously. If you want something simple, like a whiskey Coke, we got you. Usually when we tear down, I'm drinking like a great pucker and soda. So you can get what you want as long as we have it.
It's a very warming environment, so don't be afraid. All right, well, that concludes today's show. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Cheers. The Ambibulous is made possible with Castos, giving creators the tools to connect with their audience and community. The music is courteous of Pond 5, with over 25 million royalty-free stock videos, music, photos, and sound effects. There's something for every creator. Today's episode was recorded at Thomas and Moriarty's in downtown Mandan, North Dakota. I would like to thank Mr. Cashy for his time and the use of his facility to make this episode possible. For the latest updates, videos, photos, and web links to our guests, please consider checking out our Facebook page, The Ambibulous Podcast. And of course, a big thank you to all our listeners. Thank you for all of your support. Until next time, cheers.